Please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13 here tonight. Last week we began a mini-series within a series and just couldn't help it really last week. Was going to preach all of this, turned into 3 weeks. Hope you'll forgive me for that, but you know, when you really become conscious of the Lord speaking, you just want to slow down. Yeah. Not move too quickly. Want to start breaking it down. I believe what we dealt with last Wednesday night, what we will deal with tonight and next Wednesday night, is radically vital. What we deal with in these chapters, these stories, have actually been a manual for my life and my ministry over the past 25 years. Since these stories are not just stories. They're not just doctrine. These have literally molded my thinking, my actions, my words, my decisions, how I have responded, how I have understood all the things I've gone through over the past 25 years. And over the past week, the Lord has taken me remarkably back over the past 25 years. I can't even tell you tonight how much even things I've discovered in the past couple of days. If I told you the fullness of it, I wouldn't be able to record it tonight. And I'd lock you in here, wouldn't let you out of the room if I told you all the stories of what I mean, but I'm not going to tell you. Maybe tell you in 20 years if we're still here. But we're turning to 1 Samuel 13. Last week, we dealt with Saul, King Saul, and I said we're dealing with three messages, Saul, David, and Absalom, a tale of three kings. This is our mini-series, a tale of three kings. The bigger series is authority and submission. So please bear with me while we slow down and insert a mini-series here. And we looked at, and if you missed the message, go back and hear it last Wednesday night. I believe it's God's word to us. It's a vital message, and it'll help you to understand tonight. You won't fully understand tonight if you didn't hear last week. Yeah. Okay, so if you're hearing tonight, just go back and listen last week. You won't miss anything. But you've got to understand this all together and with what we'll deal with next Wednesday night. Here tonight I want to deal with King Saul. Reading from 1 Samuel 13 last week as we dealt with King Saul, we saw that when God found him and chose him and anointed him to be king, he was little in his own eyes. And yet we find within 2 years, rebellion is in his heart against God's word, God's will, God's obedience, God's commands, God's authority in his life. And for 38 years, King Saul reigns on the throne of Israel as the anointed king of God, God's chosen king. And yet the day before he dies, we see that he goes and consults the witch of Endor. That was King Saul. Now tonight, we're going to look at the heart of King David. 1 Samuel 13, reading from verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." Wonder who that man was going to be. "And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And then turn to chapter 16, to the day that King David was anointed with oil. Or I should say the shepherd boy was anointed with oil. Chapter 16, verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite," or the Jesse who lives in Bethlehem, "for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord." Then verse 4, "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming." It's a prophet of God, a man of God, and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" I'd want to know that if you're dealing with a real prophet. Yeah. Yeah. Verse 5, and he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons. There's one person doesn't need sanctified in this story. And called them to sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he, Samuel, looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." This is David's oldest brother. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And then lastly, over to chapter 24. Just giving you an overview here as we come to this message. 24 and verse 4. "And the men of David said unto him, Behold the day which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do with him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily," or secretly. "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went his way. Father, just bless your word to us. Speak to us, Lord God, even as these scriptures, these stories, Lord God, these truths impacted and molded my entire direction of life, everything I've done in ministry. Lord God, I pray that you mold this church, you mold individuals in this room. Lord God, not with the thinking of men, not with the ideas of man, not with sentiment, not with feelings, not with emotion, but with the word of God, with the ways of God, with the truth of God, with the example of our God. Just help us, mold us, speak to us. Let your word be a light unto our way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1, we read of the Lord speaking to Samuel the prophet, an old man of God, a man of prayer, a man of faith, a man who's walked with God. And this is what the Lord says unto them: "Fill thine horn with oil and go. And I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king amongst his sons." In chapter 13, the Lord speaks through Samuel to King Saul and says, "God has rejected you, and God has actually sought himself for a man after his own heart. Surely there's no one like David in the Bible who had a heart after God. No one in the entire Bible had such a sweet spirit. No other man understood the ways of God and the heart of God and the mind of God and the desires of God like young David did, both in his youth and in his old age. And we know that the Lord was seeking a man after his own heart. Here is again the Lord speaking to Samuel and saying, "I want you to go to Bethlehem. I have provided myself a king amongst his sons. I want you to go down there." And we read that Samuel actually filled, what is it? A horn of oil. In chapter 10, I believe it's verse 1, we read that Samuel fills a vial when he goes to anoint King Saul. A vial. What is a vial? It's a man-made instrument. It's a man-made thing. A vial actually had a little cup to it, out of which the oil dripped. That's what a vial was. You turned it up and the oil dripped out. Drip, drip, drip. That was symbolic of Saul's anointing. The Holy Spirit coming upon him, dripping him. But notice here, the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, fill thine horn with oil. Now, a horn isn't a man-made thing. Man doesn't make a horn. What is a horn? It is actually, it grows on an animal. It is a creation of God. The horn of an animal is symbolic of authority and power. Everywhere you read about horns in the Bible, it represents the authority of God. That God has given his authority to a man. Or a man is being raised up by the hand of God. So notice here, Saul was anointed with the drip drip of that oil. But when Samuel goes to anoint one of Jesse's sons, he takes a horn of oil. He is going to pour it. Notice with the horn, doesn't it have a big opening? Isn't the opening big that the oil flows freely without any restraint and without any limitation? So notice that just very simply, the vial and the horn, their anointing was different. There was a different plan, a different purpose. God knew this and he said, upon David, the oil is going to flow freely upon his life. Aren't you glad that Samuel could hear from God? Do you know when he went down there to the house of Jesse and he looked upon the oldest son? Notice here, Jesse brings out his 7 sons. Jesse has 8 sons. Jesse, the father of David, didn't even bother getting them. The prophet says, bring all of your sons out. His father doesn't even think of him. His father isn't even aware. He hardly even thinks, hey, the man of God wouldn't want to see David of any of my sons, not David. And he brings his 7 sons out and they begin to pass before the man of God. And when Samuel, remember who Samuel is, a man of God. He knows God. He walks with God. Now notice what he says when he looks on the oldest son. He says, look at him. Surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. Why? He wasn't looking at his heart. He was looking at his dimensions, his height, the strength of his muscles. He was looking at that tint in his eye. He said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Aren't you glad that he wasn't moved by his emotions? But he heard God whisper in his ear and says, no, no, he is not. Listen, it says, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. That means David's oldest brother was a tall man because I have refused him. Mm-hmm. The Lord wouldn't refuse someone. Yes, he would. Yeah, amen. The Lord wouldn't say no to someone going into ministry. Yes, he would. You could say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Lord say, you'll never be in ministry. I don't want you in ministry. Your heart is the reason. Yeah. Do you realize your heart within you has everything to do with ministry? Everything. And I tell you what, God doesn't need more ministry. He needs a certain type of heart. He doesn't need another King Saul. He doesn't need a man who can fight battles. He doesn't need a man with great knowledge and great power and great influence. He needs someone with a certain type of heart. And saints, I want to tell you, the church is filled with King Sauls here tonight. They're suspicious. They're disobedient. They rely on numbers. They talk about themselves. They get angry. They're filled with hate. They're filled with vengeance. They're dissatisfied. They're tormented by demons. The church is filled with it. God is saying, I want a man of a certain heart. I'm tired of you looking at the eloquence. I'm tired of you judging ministry by what they do or what they do not do. Ministry is judged by a heart or a character or a nature. So the Lord speaks to Samuel, I have rejected him. Then the other 6 sons come and the Lord very politely says, and it, not he even, and it have rejected. I tell you, as it went down the line to the last, and Samuel goes, don't you have any more children? Because the Spirit of God's rejected them. And he said, oh yes, I have one. And he says, go, it says to his servants, go get young David from the hillside. What's he doing? He's playing his harp and he's worshipping the Lord and he's guarding the sheep and he's protecting them. You know, the Lord is waiting. Do you know how old David was? About 15 years old. And here he comes running. Do you know what? He's a young boy under authority. He obeys his father. His father forgets about him. His father doesn't even think about him. His father stuck him out on the hillsides by himself. But he's under the authority of his father. He obeys his father. He loves his father. But he's also over sheep. He says, I take this responsibility. I've got responsibility for sheep. And I look after them and I guard them and I'll fight a bear. And I'll even fight a lion. I don't run away and say, sure, they're only sheep. There are only a few animals here. He doesn't do that. He says, they're sheep and I love them. And I've been given responsibility. And I'm doing this unto the Lord. Do you realize that was the heart within him? And here comes David running. And behold, what does Samuel say? He says, behold the anointed of God. And he pours that horn of oil upon his head. He's a 15-year-old boy. And the oil pours down over his head. And the old man of God prophesies that you are the anointed of God, meaning you're the king of Israel. What an amazing thing. Look at this in verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. All his brothers were there. The man of God just said, you're rejected. You're rejected. You're rejected. And here the oil is flowing freely on this little boy, the youngest of the bunch, the smallest, the most unlikely. And it's done right in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Amen. Do you know what he done? He went back to the sheep. Yeah. He went back to the sheep. He's the anointed of God. Notice the next verse. Verse 14. Buts aren't always positive. They can be negative. Yeah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. That means made him afraid, terrified him till he was shaken. He was overwhelmed and scared to death. Look at this great King Saul. He's been reigning for about 25 years. And look at this little boy, 15, he's still wet behind the ears. And look at the contrast of the Spirit of God coming on this little boy and the Spirit of God departing from Saul and an evil spirit coming from the Lord. Look at this man in ministry, a great general, a king over the nation of Israel. He wins all of his battles. But the Spirit of God is gone. Yet he's going to be in this position for 48 years and no one's going to move him off the throne. But look at this little boy. What's he doing? He's anointed to be king by God. God has a remarkable plan for him. And look at it. His father doesn't even notice him. And his brothers think very little of him. And as soon as it happens, he walks out of the village. And what village was it? Bethlehem. It's where David come from. And he walks out of Bethlehem and he returns to his sheep and he picks up the horn and he goes, man, what was all that about? And he begins to worship the Lord and praise the Lord. Look at verse 15. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. It was evident to all an evil spirit from the Lord. You can bind it, you can rebuke it, you can go through all of the spiritual warfare. If you're disobedient to God, the devil is going to be at your heels. Yeah. You can reject his authority, you can play with the world, you can play games with church, and I assure you, you could be the greatest preacher in the world, and you'll be tormented by demons. And notice this was in God's plan. You reject me. You reject my word. You reject obedience to me. I'll send an evil spirit onto you. You want to play with my church? And this king was sitting on his throne, tormented. But look at the servants, they could see it. And they said, Master, let us find a man who is cunning or gifted and playing on a harp. Must have had a bit of Irish blood. You'll see that David also had said he was ruddy, he was red. Some say his hair was actually red. I tell you, he's a harp player. And he's got a bit of red in there, either in his cheeks or his hair. Could be a bit of blood flowing there. I can assure you. But the servants say, to find someone who can play skillfully on the harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee. They're all saying this. God has done this to you. But he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto the servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning and playing and a mighty man of valor and a man of war. He's a 15-year-old shepherd. He's a man of war and he's prudent in matters. And he's a very comely person. And the Lord is with him. The Lord's with that 15-year-old boy. Not with the man on the throne. Since we've got an awful lot to learn about ministry in these things. It says in verse 21, and David came to Saul and stood before him. And notice what Saul, what his heart was towards young David. He loved him greatly. Look at this great king. And this little boy is brought into his presence with his harp. And it says that through this music ministry, Saul loved him greatly. Why did he love him? He cured his ills. He helped him with his demons. So he really loved him. Why did he love him? Because he's soothing his soul. Do you know a lot of people love others because of that? Oh, they so help me. They so bless me. They soothe my demons. They lift the burden off me. I love them. Let's see how long the love lasts. That's the question asked. And he became his armor bearer. This is what Saul thought of young David. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took his harp and played with his hand. This is what happened. Bit of a worship leader in Saul's church. This is Saul's church. Saul is the senior pastor of a mega church. And young David is brought in to lead worship at times and do seminars and do conventions. And Saul is under great depression. And he says, we need to get that little boy in here to do his worship seminar to ease my soul. You see, some are going, music will help me. I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to repent of my sin. Just bring on the worship. Jesus. And there's many in the church, they have given themselves to worship. They say, oh, worship brings the Holy Spirit to the meetings. And we'll get the worship right and the sound right and the atmosphere right and the lights right and the darken the lights. Why do they do that in contemporary worship meetings? Why do they darken the lights? Why has it become so popular? They're trying to appeal to your soul realm. And here's a soul church. Music is emphasized, not obedience, not holiness, not repentance. It is music is the answer to everything. Worship is the answer. And look at this young boy who worships the Lord. And it says there in verse 23, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. The word refreshed means revived. That God breathes on you or blows upon you or gives you space and room from all your problems. Look at him, he's been to convention. And he gets a revival in his heart. And he begins to say, I feel so much better. I've been to the house of God. I've been to church. I feel so good. I feel revived. I feel stirred. He hasn't repented. He hasn't obeyed God. He hasn't gone back and corrected what's wrong. What is it? It's a feeling. David had the anointing of God. David had a pure heart. David was ministering to the Lord. And what Saul done was bring it into his church. And he said, I'm going to use this to ease my conscience. I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to change my character or nature. I want to use this anointed little boy. And I tell you, King Saul is like that. He sees the anointing on another. He sees the blessing of God or the price you paid for praying. And he'll bring you in and say, I want that blessing to meet my needs. And we can have a bit of a revival here. And the demons will leave me. That's chapter 16. Chapter 17, we read the most famous story about King David. David going out to slay Goliath. Do you know where David is? He only come up to visit King Saul's church. He goes back home. Why? He's got the sheep. He says, I am looking after the sheep. I know there are only a few. I know they're off on the hill. And nobody, anyone else doesn't really think much of them, but I do. I care for them. I leave the palace of Saul and that great splendor of majesty. And I go down the hillside because I miss the sheep. A sheep is a beautiful thing, and you get to know it personally and intimately, and it's got a personality. It's got a soul within it. Yeah. Not an eternal soul, but it does have emotions. And here's David. He's back at his home. And his father says, you know what, boy? Your seven brothers are up at the battle. Your brothers are on the battlefield, and your oldest brother is up there. And they're in King Saul's army. They're going out to fight for King Saul. They believe in his authority. And they're up there fighting the battle with him. You know, none of them done anything. They're all in the trenches, thousands and tens of thousands. And Goliath comes out, and there's all the enemy. They're all scared. King Saul's scared. All the army are scared. Thousands of them. And they've got all their armor, and they're very well trained, and they've got all the money and all the power and all the ministry gadgets, and they're there trembling. And for 40 days, Goliath comes up and says, send me a man that I can fight. Send me one man, and I'll kill him. No one went out. Saul didn't go out. Saul didn't go out. But here comes a little boy skipping early in the morning. He got up early that morning. Do you know why? His daddy says, son, you take them bread. Take them some food. Take your brother some food. He says, yes, daddy, I'll do that. A man under authority, young boy under authority, I'll take them all right. Care about my brothers, I'll take them a meal. And when he got up there, he saw this scene and he said, who is this Philistine? What's going on here? Yeah. And some of the soldiers started to explain to him. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Yeah. And you know what his brother said? He said, you shut up, you're proud. Yeah. You're nosy. These are the same brothers who were there when he got anointed to be king of Israel. Remember that? Yeah. They're not thinking about that. They're saying, you're proud. Do you know you can misjudge a heart? Amen. God has searched all over the nation for this heart. And yet you've got these men of war who are ready to fight. And they're saying, you're proud. And you're arrogant. Why? Because I don't like glass. And I'm saying, why doesn't someone kill him? Well, you know the story, yeah, all about it. And we know that Saul put his armor on David and said, there you go, use my armor. He couldn't move. Hey, why would I use the armor of the mega ministries and the big churches when they aren't even defeating the enemy?
Right.
Our world is going to hell faster than in any other generation. We have more churches, more ministries, more preachers in this hour than any other time in history. Right. Yet less revival.
That's right.
Why would I use their gadgets? That's why, saints, I tell you, I am of the house of David. I don't want their flashing lights. I don't want their mega ministries. I don't want their strategies and evangelism. Right. I reject Saul's armor. I reject it. I don't believe in it. Just give me my old slingshot.
Yeah.
Saints, that's all I need. I've killed a lamb with it. I've killed a bear with it. And I'll kill Goliath with it.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And that's what he done. You know the story so well. After slaying Goliath, Saul standing in safety behind his army. He says, who is this young man? It's the young boy that used to minister to your demons at that convention. The worship convention, you remember? Oh, I thought he was just a worship leader. I just thought he loved tinkering around the piano. Oh, it eased my soul. He's killed Goliath.
Amen.
This worship leader has now destroyed the greatest enemy of Israel on the battlefield single-handedly. And he didn't even have a plate armor on him. Saints, I'm telling you, some little church, some little David church in this generation is going to arise and do what no mega church in this generation has yet done.
Yes.
Do you hear me? A little insignificant church.
Right.
Filled with sheep will do more than all of Saul's armor put together. I am prophesying to you what is just about to happen very shortly in the church.
Yeah.
Somewhere at some time.
Yeah.
We'll all be there. We'll all see it. But some little shepherd boy is going to come out of nowhere. But he's got the anointing of God on him. He is under the authority of God. He obeys God and believes God and worships the Lord. King Saul said, who is this young boy? Bring him to me. Look at this little boy. He walks into the palace and he's got glass head in his hands. What a sight. Standing before this giant of a king. King Saul. He respected King Saul. He was under authority to King Saul. This is my king. I serve my king. I've done this in serving my king and in serving God.
Amen.
Over to chapter 18. In verse 1. Look what we read happens immediately afterwards. It says, Jonathan loved David. Who's Jonathan? He's the son of Saul. You see, Saul's about 60 years old. Jonathan is about 40 years old. David is about 15 years old. And here is the son of Saul who should be the next king. And he loves David. He actually, his heart is drawn towards him. And it says he loves him. Remember how it said Saul loved him greatly. Saul greatly loved this little worship leader. But now here's the son. Having watched this battle. And it says, Jonathan loved David. Then verse 2, and Saul took David that day, and he would not let him go home anymore to his father's house. David, you're becoming a member of the worship team in this church. You're not going back to that little church up on the hillside where there's only a few sheep. You are joining my church. I need you here. Look at them, they all love David, don't they? Can you imagine David knowing that God's hand is upon him? He's got no motivation, no agenda. Has he pushed for a ministry position? No, he hasn't at all. Then in verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Notice this. He was under the authority of Saul. What Saul told him to do, that's what he done. He was under the authority. Listen, God has anointed him. He is the anointed of God. The Holy Spirit is less Saul. And you know what? David knows that because an evil spirit comes and he is ministered to him time after time after time. Yet you don't see him criticizing. You don't even see him saying, I'm the anointed and he has lost the anointing. Never once do you see that.
That's right.
He is obeying Saul. He is under the authority of Saul.
Yeah.
And it says, Saul used to send him out. And he behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. Look at him. He is actually being given responsibility. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people. And also in the sight of Saul's servants. Then in verse 7 we have a radical change. Since there's people who say, I greatly love you.
Yeah.
Oh, I enjoy your ministry. Until it's tested. Until it's tested. How many people have I heard? Oh, I so enjoy the preaching. Do you know, it used to be a joke. You'd get someone come for one Sunday and they said, I have been searching for this. Never saw them again. I tell you, more than one, more than ten. I don't even understand that. I've had people tell me, God has called me here. 2 weeks are gone. I'm talking about what has happened the past 3 years. I don't even understand that. But here, you actually have something radically changed. Saul is going to be tested. He's been on the throne for about 25 years. In verse 7, we actually read about the women after the battle, and they're all singing about the war. And they're saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. Your heart will be tested when you're ignored and someone else is praised. Amen. When you aren't used in a certain way, but God uses somebody else, we'll find out what's in your heart. Amen. It reveals an awful lot what your response is. And let's see what Saul's response. Verse 8, and Saul was very wrath, and the saying displeased him. And verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. He no longer loves him. Why did he not love him? Because of that song. Hold on, David didn't sing the song.
Yeah.
David wasn't saying, I've slain tens of thousands. David actually didn't. He only killed one man.
Yeah.
He killed one Goliath. It was Israel done it. But look what's got into Saul. He is after my throne. Yeah. No, he's not. He is actually building your throne up. He is encouraging you. He is helping you. He is serving you. He is obeying you. And yet you've got angry with him because someone is singing a song. And God has used him. You see that? That shows how far Saul had gone. The anointed of God, or should I say the ex-anointed of God. Years, 25 years in ministry. Some people ought to get out of ministry an awful lot quicker than they do.
Yeah.
And here comes little David and he eyes him. That means I'm keeping an eye on you.
Yeah.
I'm watching you. You're deceptive. I know I'm going to catch you out. If I keep watching you, you are going to say or do something. I am waiting for you. I'll pick up every wrong word you say. Every time you look to your left or your right. Every time you stand talking to someone, I'm going to be saying, I'm watching you. Imagine living under that in a church. This was what it was like in the church of Saul. Look at verse 10 here. And it came to pass on the morrow after this, on the morrow, that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. It's an evil spirit. You see, he felt a moving of something. And he's in the house and he begins to prophesy. You be careful what prophecies you accept. What men say. Be very careful what spirit it's coming from. Because I tell you, when a man is angry and he's watching people with suspicion, that prophecy, I assure you there's going to be something wrong with it. Here is a man filled with anger in his heart who actually has rebelled against God and he is prophesying. He can't discern between a spirit from the Lord and an evil spirit. He can't discern anymore what is God and what isn't God. And David played with his hand as at other times and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. I want you to see this. Here you have two men anointed of God. One a young man, one an older man. One a man of great experience, one who has no experience. One who has lost the anointing and one who hasn't even stepped into ministry. And they are here in the same church. Here is a faithful young man serving the Lord, but here is a man throwing javelins. I'm talking spiritually. Mm-hmm. Here is a king, a leader, an anointed man of God, and he's throwing javelins. He actually thinks he has the right to throw a javelin at a young man. Here's David playing on his harp, soothing the man of God.
Yeah.
And yet here you have Saul throwing a spear at him. Notice that you always see from now on Saul with a spear in his hand. You always see it. David avoids the spear. And in verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and had departed from Saul. You watch men who have lost the anointing, the blessing of God. God isn't with them anymore. They begin to create an environment. They hate the blessing of God. They hate anointed preaching. They hate anointed worship. Their heart is radically different. They will try to destroy it. It ministers to them, and yet they will try to destroy it and undermine it. There's plenty of backslidden prophets in the church. And it says here, because the Lord was with them, therefore Saul, verse 13, therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. He says, I can't stand him anymore. I hate the sound of that music. I hate his ministry. I thought you loved him.
Yeah.
I thought you enjoyed that music ministry. He says, now get that harp out of my sight. Get it away from my palace. What does he do? He promotes him. And that's what a Saul church always does. He'll promote you. Someone comes in the church, they play the guitar. Yeah. They're not in here any length of time. We'll give you a ministry. Oh, you're going to leave. We'll give you a ministry.
Yeah.
Saints, I'm telling you how 95% of born-again churches operate.
Right.
Hey, we don't want you going again with your harp. Come back. We'll give you a ministry or a position. That's what Saul does. He says, I want him out of my palace. He doesn't repent or let God deal with him. So he gives David a position over 1,000 men. Get him out of my sight. And it says he was afraid of David. Look at this old man of God, about 60 years old. And he's saying, I hate that instrument. I hate the victories of David. Doesn't love him anymore. Didn't he love him greatly? Where did that go to? What, because David won a battle against Goliath? What, because the Spirit of God has departed you? Here is a man of God throwing spears. He actually thought, I'm in authority. I have power. God has put me in the ministry. Therefore, I've got authority to throw spears. Being in leadership means I can throw spears. I'm allowed to do that. You're not. But I'm allowed to do it because I'm a leader. I can lie, I can criticize, I can undermine, I can threaten, I can near destroy you, I can bully you. Can I tell you, leadership or authority can never do that. In the marriage, in the church, or in the nation. A man with authority, it shows he's lost the anointing of God. When he begins to abuse his position, there is something terribly wrong with his heart. But notice verse 16, all of Israel and Judah loved David. Jonathan loved David. All of Israel loved David. And in verse 20, Michal loved David. This was Saul's daughter. She began to love him. Everybody is loving David. Notice as Saul's heart turns against him. Everybody's heart is turning towards the young boy. We love him. And Saul's daughter begins to love him. And Saul says, I am going to give my daughter to David to be a snare unto him. And that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. I will kill him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to promote him. Now I'm going to approach him and say, I want you to marry my daughter. David says, don't you realize I'm from the least of the families? Don't you realize to be the husband to the daughter of the king of Israel? This is too much for me. I thought you were anointed for this. I thought you're after being king. He doesn't even feel worthy to be married to the king's daughter. He says, I'm not worthy of this. This is a big issue. Just one thing. Do you know what you have to do? You have to kill 1,000 Philistines and bring their foreskins in. Just a little thing. What was Saul doing? Trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Says he won't do it. He won't manage this. And here's David being drawn in to be the son-in-law of the king. Into the family. Well, we know the story. David killed 2,000 Philistines. Brought their foreskin and said, there you go. Can you imagine Saul saying, I thought he was going to die. I thought it would be too big for him. I thought he wouldn't manage it. Look at the young man, he's obeying him now as his future father-in-law. As his king, he's got another respect for this man. And yet this man is trying to destroy him. This man doesn't like him. I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about ministry. And it says in verse 29, and Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Saul felt threatened by David. And yet here's David not even aware of becoming king one day. It's not in his prayers. It's not even in his heart. The thought scares him of even marrying Saul's daughter. Saints, authority doesn't mean you can throw spears. And this is the great test of David's heart. To become king, are you going to start throwing spears back? Saul threw spears. Are you going to become a leader like Saul? Are you going to speak like him and think like him and act like him and operate like him? Are you going to run ministry like him? Are you going to get into ministry and become a Saul? This was a great test of young David's heart. Look at him. He's had spears thrown at him, yet his heart is pure. No anger, no jealousy, no venom, no suspicion. He is servant Saul. This was God's authority given to David. David, meet the authority I have put in your life. Meet the man I want you to submit to. Welcome to the church I have put you in. Do you know it was all in God's plan? Why? I'm going to make you the greatest king Israel has ever seen. And to get you there, you need spears thrown at you. It was in the plan of God. Saints, there's no excuse for a leader who throws spears. It is unacceptable and it'll never be acceptable in this church.
Yes,
but I assure you, if you ever, and I've been there, and I've experienced it, look at young David. Did he throw the spear back? No. He was anointed God. Yet look at him. He did not lead a rebellion in the palace.
Yeah.
He did not claim the throne. He did not try to kill Saul. He did not steal the crown. He did not split the kingdom. He did not learn the art of throwing spears. He didn't secretly in his heart and say, I'll serve you outwardly, but inwardly, one day I'm going to get back at you. Yeah. One day I'll get you off that throne. One day I'm going to take your place. Doesn't say that. His heart is pure. In chapter 19 and 1, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. Look at this. Now Saul is saying to Jonathan and the rest, they ought to kill him. He hates this young boy. He feels a threat. He says, I see the anointing. I see the blessing. I see the obedience. I see God is with him and it scares me. That's what happens to a man who's lost the blessing of God or a leader who's lost the blessing of God. Any touch of God threatens him.
Yeah.
It threatens him. It scares him. Because he says, you're after my throne. That wasn't in the heart of David. That's in your mind.
Yeah.
That's all in the thoughts of your mind. And here's Jonathan who loves David and has made a covenant with him. He actually goes to David and he warns him. He says, David, my father is going to kill you. My father actually hates you. My father has told me that I ought to kill you. Saints, Jonathan was not like Saul, his father. He was radically different in his heart, his attitude, his response, everything. He was to be the next king of Israel, the next pastor. And yet here he is saying, David, be very careful. My father is trying to kill you. Jonathan goes back to the palace and he speaks to his father. And he says to his father, what's David ever done to you? Does he not have a pure heart? Has he not fought your battles? Does he not serve you faithfully? And he begins to sow good seed. He begins to win over the heart of his father. And Jonathan, and it actually says that Saul changed his mind. He said, go get him. I'm sorry, I was wrong. I was wrong, you're right. So Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in the presence of Saul as in times past. He comes back in and he's on the harp and he's worshiping and he's ministering like the good old days. Hey, we put things right. You young brother David, it's all water under the bridge. We're friends again. I love you like the old days. Come and be the worship leader and serve me in the house of God. And everything went well for a time. But saints, you can't pretend with this. What is in your heart is going to come out. As surely as what's in David's heart is going to come out. And what is in Saul's heart is going to come out. And they carried on with their nice meetings in the palace until there was war again and the Philistines invaded the land. And we're actually told that David went out in the army to fight the Philistines and he won a great victory. Uh-oh. Man, you shouldn't have been used of God. You shouldn't have got inspired of the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't have been stirred to serve God like that. You're going to have a Saul eye on you when you're stirred of the Holy Spirit. I can assure you. Saul will get mad at you because God used you to preach, to pray, to testify, to evangelize on the street. And look what happens. After the battle, they come back into the palace and David's back on his harp again. He can go from the battlefield straight into worship and ministering to the king Saul. It says in verse 9, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in the house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. And he, David, slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled. This is chapter 19, verse 9. And David fled and escaped that night. It's time to leave the house of Saul. Saints, have you ever wondered, when is it time to leave a church?
Oh, I don't like the carpet. Pastor didn't shake my hand this morning. I don't like the worshiper. When am I going to be asked to do something? I'm leaving.
That preacher actually expects me to obey the word of God. I'm leaving offended. I'm angry with him. Why? Because I want you to walk with Jesus.
Amen.
When do you leave a church? When your pastor is like this, when he abuses authority, when he doesn't have the heart of David anymore, when he's throwing spears at you. Look, the king is throwing spears at David. Do you see rebellion? We are going to split the church. It's not there. You know what David's saying? He is anointed as the king over this palace. I am not going to touch it. If I'm going to do it, I'll run for my life.
Right.
He didn't start a rebellion. He didn't go around gossiping to everybody. As soon as a man starts gossiping and hasn't come and spoken, be sure there's something wrong with that heart.
Amen.
You don't have enough courage to come and be honest. Don't go gossiping.
Amen.
Greatest thing you can do, someone comes gossiping. Have you gone and spoke to him? No. Why not?
Amen.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
That says everything, saints. Says if you've got a problem with your brother, you go and speak to him between you and him alone. Mm-hmm. Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else.
Right.
And if you win your brother over, praise God. If he doesn't listen to you, maybe take someone else with you. If they don't listen to him, bring it before the church, then treat him like a heathen.
Yeah.
We're talking about basics here.
Amen.
Here's David. He said, it's time to leave me, to leave. I've given opportunities. He's thrown javelins at me, not just once. He's tried to kill me. He's angry with me. So David actually stayed in this church for years. He served faithfully. There's no rebellion, no trying to draw people to himself, none of it. Here he is, he's faithful to Saul. He's obedient to Saul. He has served Saul. But it's time to leave the church of Saul. Get out of a church that abuses. If you get manipulated over money, if you get prophecies, you should marry this person. I tell you, you better be very careful. It says in verse 11, Saul also sent messengers onto David's house.
to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, Saul's daughter, told him. Notice so far, David's spoken to Jonathan. Oh, he's the Lord's anointed. You know, more so in America or some of the African churches. Not so much in Ireland. Ireland's filled with rebellion. Yeah. Do you know, in Africa or in America, say, oh, the anointed man of God, you can't speak against him. Touch not God's anointed. Don't say he's wrong. Don't point anything out wrong. That's rubbish. Amen. Do you know David went to Jonathan, his son, and said, he's wrong. He's trying to kill me. No king should try and do this. Then also his wife. She actually says, my father's trying to kill you. You better get out of here. Don't you hang about till the morning. He's watching this house. You better run for your life. Thanks, dear. That's a wife. That's how I cover. Not listening to daddy, listening to your husband. You see, she was a woman under authority. It used to be daddy. Yeah. She used to be under the authority of her daddy. No more. Yeah. There's big problems when mummies and daddies start poking their nose into a new marriage. Yeah. Mummy, daddy, keep your nose out. They leave mommy and daddy and go and start a new marriage. You've got nothing to say about. Leave them alone. Unless it's something biblical.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. There's a new authority. It's the man in that house.
Yeah.
Daddy wants to come poke his nose in. Daddy, you've got no more business here.
Yeah.
Saul, you've got no more. Why are you trying to intrude into our home? There's a man here. He's the head of this home.
Yeah.
And his name is David. David had to flee even from his home for fear of his life. In verse 18, he goes to a different church. So David fled and he escaped and he came to Samuel to Ramah and he told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt at Nahath. He went to the church of Samuel. Here's Samuel's church. He ran from Saul's church where there was abuse and spears and anger, and it's all professional. And he goes to Samuel's church. Who is he? He's a man of prayer, a man of the word of God, a prophet of God, a man who's in order. And notice that all the people around Samuel, it's a bit of a rougher church, but they all prophesy. And verse 20, and Saul sent messengers to take David from the church of Samuel. Man, those must have been meetings with this old man of God. David's back with him. Let me get refreshed in a good church where there's real preaching and the anointing of God is there. Samuel isn't going to try and kill you. Man, he'll preach the hide off you. Do you hear me? Samuel is a preacher. He preaches repentance. He'll deal with every secret sin. He'll tell you what the word of God is. He is cut and dry. Do you remember David's father and the elders in Bethlehem when they saw Samuel come? They went, oh, praise the God. Brother, Samuel is going to banter with us.
No.
It says they trembled.
That's right.
Why? He's either coming to bless us or curse us. Must have turned to the elders of the town. Have any of you got secrets in this man of God's coming? Any of you's carrying on?
Yeah.
Relationships? Stealing money? And he is playing religious games. Because I'm telling you, a man of God is coming. You better tremble.
That's right.
Since that's where David ran to. He says, I don't want angry spears, false accusation, lies, trying to destroy my character. But I do want to go to a church where a man of God is prophesying and dealing with my heart. I'm sure he got in there and said, oh, Samuel, preach to me. Is anything in my heart? Is there any bitterness? Is there any jealousy? Have I got any attitudes towards Saul? After all, he has tried to kill me. He has made me flee the city. Very easy to get bitter. Very easy to have an attitude against Saul. I just want to get under Samuel preaching. Oh God, deal with my heart. Give me a pure heart. I want to be a man after your heart. I want to submit to authority. I want to understand authority. I don't want to be a spear thrower. That's not the sort of king I want to be. I do not want to be in that sort of ministry. Then we read that Saul actually heard he was in the church of Samuel. So he takes a bunch of his men and he sends them and says, go down to that church and you get that young boy Samuel and you bring him back here, or that young boy David, and bring him back here. I want him dead. And the soldiers all went down there. And as they arrived in Samuel's church, the Spirit of God came on them and all started prophesying. They got so blessed down there that all the anger and the jealousy and the bitterness of Saul, it fell off them. And they began to rejoice and go, surely this is the house of God. This happened 3 times. Saul hears, he sends men, that happens. Sends more men. Keep sending them. We'll keep preaching. Because the Spirit of God is here. Finally, Saul says, I'm going down there myself. And in verse 23, it says, the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and he prophesied. This Saul, he's angry trying to kill David. Now he's going to another man's church and he's still trying to destroy him. No fear of Samuel. Could care less what Samuel thinks. I'm going to kill that boy David. He's a threat to me. What do? Bless you? Encourage you? Help you? Defend you from your enemies and you're angry at them?
Yeah.
Saints, so if I do good to people and they leave here angry and bitter, there's something terribly wrong. What, should I not have prayed for you? Not encouraged you? Not preached to you the truth? And you're offended? What's wrong with your heart? Because I tell you, to have that, when you reward evil for good, there's something wrong. Evil won't leave your home.
That's right.
What I said on Friday night. Mm-hmm. You better change that very quickly. Look at Saul, always rewarding evil for good. People do him good, he does evil. David's the opposite. You do him evil, he does you good.
Amen.
Radically different. Wow. Two different hearts within these men. So Saul comes down and he begins to prophesy in the Samuel church. Can you believe it? And it says he stripped off his clothes also and he prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. His heart wasn't changed. His attitude wasn't changed. His anger wasn't dealt with. But he is prophesying. He feels the anointing. He is a man prophesying under the Holy Spirit. Real prophecies. And yet his heart is not changed. Oh, listen how he prays. Listen how he speaks about the Lord. Yeah, but what's his attitude?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Do you realize, well, Samuel is caught up in this? David again has to flee from the church of Samuel. He says, man, there's no resting place for me. I'm going to have to keep running. God may let you rest in the church of Samuel. Man, I'm staying here forever. This is wonderful. I'm not going to be moved from this church. I want to sit under the old prophet of God and I'll just wait until I become king of Israel. Oh no, we don't make kings like that.
Yeah.
We don't make men of God like that. This is God. God's saying, I'm not going to leave you in the church of Samuel. I'm going to make sure Saul pursues you to the point you think that it's over and that you're a dead man. And for the next 10 years, he's going to plague you and pursue you with a spear and try to kill you for the next 10 years. Can you imagine that? Welcome to ministry training. Welcome to preparation to be a king on the throne. Saints, I'm telling you how it works, and it's worked in my life for 25 years. I watched it very carefully, and I can assure you I want the heart of David. No bitterness, no jealousy. I don't care what happens out there.
Yeah.
So he had to flee in chapter 21. Not going to preach all of Samuel, just most of it. Chapter 21, he actually gets so discouraged. He said, I'm going to die. What's the point of living? For the very first time, he gets afraid of Saul.
Yeah.
Here he is alone, nobody's with him. He's discouraged, he's afraid. He's actually saying, I am going to die. What does he do? He crosses the border and goes to the land of the Philistines to King Achish. You know, many years ago, I've only left 2 churches in my life. Both times because abuse in that church. The leadership were abusing the sheep. I said, I'm out of here. Only twice I've ever left churches in my life. And that was the reason for both times. Since I bore with it for years. In one of them 5 years and one of them 3 years. When I seen abuse, 3 years, I was submitted, I was faithful, I served, I warned. But I had to leave at a certain point because I went, if I cannot protect the sheep, I'm not staying here.
That's right.
I will not do it. What does David do at this point? He goes down to the land of the Philistines. Man, you're telling me he's a man under authority. Look at him, he's going to the enemy. He's not even in the church anymore. He goes down to the land of Philistines. You know, once those, the first time I ever left a church like that, it was terrible abuse. And I left, Church of Scotland was 100 metres down the road. And as I'm walking out of the church on that Sunday morning, I wasn't going to sit at home. I was going to still be there 3 weeks. But I wanted a church to go to. I don't believe in sitting at home on a Sunday. If you do, there's something wrong. There really is. Don't tell me you're walking with God and you don't go to the Lord's house. Amen. You see, I'm only there 3 weeks and then I'll go back home to Northern Ireland. But do you know what? I want to be in the house of God Sunday. I want to be in there. And there's a dead Church of Scotland, very traditional, 600 people every Sunday morning, and about 20 of them born again. None of the elders are born again, only the pastor. And I knew him, and he admitted to me that he's compromised. So I walk 100 metres down, I'm going to the Church of Scotland, and the thoughts in my mind, man, if that other Saul church saw me going to the Church of Scotland, they'd say I'm backslidden.
Yeah.
Quick as anything, this thought come to me. It was the Spirit of God, clear as day. And I couldn't have made this up. The Lord spoke to me. And he said, if I sent David down to the land of Philistines in the day of his troubles, can I not send you to the Church of Scotland? I said, praise God, I couldn't have thought that up. I walk in the church that morning and he has been preaching every week through 1 Samuel. And for the next 3 weeks, me sitting there, he preaches on Saul pursuing David. I've just come from a Saul church. And I'm sitting there going, this is the Lord, the Holy Spirit is here. It's a terribly dead church. He actually told me, he said, see all those people around you. At the end of the search, you make sure you evangelize them. They need the gospel. And I said, I sure will. All sitting there in a nice shirt saying, we're Christians, Church of Scotland. I was baptized as an infant. He says, you get in there and you get preaching to them. I will. At night time, 600 in the morning, 20 at night. Who met in his vestry for the real teaching of God's word. That's as much a church he had. Look good on a Sunday morning, not so good Sunday night. The real Christians come out Sunday night. That's how it was. Saints, David goes down to the Philistines. And notice this in chapter 22. He's down there to save himself. In chapter 21, he goes down to the Philistines. And you know, the Philistines said, this is that young boy. Remember what they used to sing? David slays his 10,000s. This is the Goliath killer. And they begin to talk and say, don't you realize who this is? This is that young boy who struck terror into our army. What does David do? Do you know, he fell on the floor and begins frothing at the mouth and acting mad. Like an Egypt. He's a wise young man. And they began to say, sure, let him alone. Not even his own people want him. He's mad. Just leave him alone, he's an idiot. He has no brain in him, he's gone crazy. The pressure of King Saul's church got to him. Leave him alone, he's not even worth killing. And they left him alone. He went, scraped through that, this was a bad idea. I'm getting back over the border again. It says in chapter 22 that he went to the cave of Adullam. His family members come, and verse 1, and everyone that was, sorry, verse 2, everyone that was in distress. Notice here, David's been alone until now. This is all in God's training to prepare him to be a king over the next 10 years. He goes to a cave that is dark, it is cold, it is wet, it is damp. He cannot go home, he's going to live in caves and deserts for the rest of his days, right. It would seem. Here in the cave called Adullam, it says certain men begin to gather onto him in that cave. I believe we are in Adullam's cave. Yeah. Notice 3 things here. Those that were in distress. That means they were under terrible pressure. They were under torment in their minds. Who began to come to David at the cave of Adullam? Those whose minds weren't right. They were under torment from the enemy. They were going, I'm a mess. It also says everyone that was in debt couldn't pay their bills. Men were running at them saying, you owe me. You're going to prison if you don't pay your debts. And everyone that was discontented. Listen to what discontented means. It means soulish. Are dominated by the flesh. Look at this cave. David's there. He's had to leave the church of Saul. He's had to leave the church of Samuel. Here he is in a cave Adullam. He couldn't go to the Philistines church, I'll tell you that. That was just a bridge too far. He could visit there, but he couldn't stay there more than a month, I can assure you. It is too bad in the Philistines. But here he is in cave Adullam. It's time for us to start a church. David is about to start building his army for his rule that will yet come in the future. Where does he start? In a cave alone. And who is it who comes in? All of these soulless, fleshly individuals. People who have problems. Since it is in this cave and in the deserts following, he becomes a captain over these men. He didn't make himself captain. He didn't manipulate. You know, Saul would have said, who'd want to reign over this bunch anyway? Keep them. There was a 400 gathered to them. And notice this about this 400. None of them liked authority. Do you hear me? This is David's army. They do not like authority. They've been abused by authority. They were born rebels. This is who begins gathering to David. These are the new converts. They did not like to submit to anybody. No government, no power, no man. Not at school, not at home. They didn't believe in submission. They hated authority figures with a vengeance. They rejected any limitation to their rights and liberties. They were non-conformists. And they begin to gather to David to the cave of Adullam. They're drawn to him. Why? Look at him. He's a man under authority. David has a beautiful heart. He loves God. He obeys God's word. He believes God's word. They are drawn to him. And the Bible says he became a captain over them. Notice here these men, these discontents, these soulish, fleshy rebels begin to say, I want to submit to you, David. I actually believe what you're saying. Because you're not merely trying to impose something. We see you're a submitted man. Your spirit is pure and your spirit is beautiful and you preach the truth and black is black and white is white and what you say you do mean. And they're actually drawn to this cave. We have all manners of trouble. We've never submitted to anyone in our life, but we will submit to your authority. You know why? We see the anointing of God upon you. You're only here in a cave, but we see the anointing of God. I'm sure you got his harp out. Do you know some of the Psalms were written in this cave of Adullam?
Right.
A dark, black cave, and Saul's trying to hunt him down and kill him. Do you realize caves are a great place to become a great musician? Some of those Psalms, most of those Psalms, were written during these days of tyranny under Saul. In the next chapter, chapter 23, we read of them fleeing to the wilderness of Ziph. Saul followed them. Then they fled to the wilderness of Maon. Saul followed them. They then fled to the wilderness of Engedi. And Saul followed them. He's got 3,000 men and he's trying to kill them. Then chapter 24 verse 2. Just bear with me a few minutes here, saints.
Keep going.
Chapter 24 verse 2. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and he went to seek David and his men. No, it's not just David. It's David and his men. Anyone who associates with this man is a target. Look at them, saints. David builds one of the greatest armies that the earth has ever known. You know, later in 2 Samuel 23, we read about the great men of valor. Unusual men. I mean, extraordinary men. One man killed 600 soldiers, enemy soldiers. Where did David get these unusual, great, valiant men who have character? In those caves.
Yeah.
in those wildernesses. David is forming an army. They all march to the same beat. They all have the same stride. They all march shoulder to shoulder. They have order. There was more order in the cave of Adullam than in the palace of Saul. Do you hear me? Here in this cave and in these wildernesses, they sorted out their theology on submission and authority. Since this is where it happened, one of the greatest armies were prepared at the end of a spear. We actually read in 24 and verse 4, Saul has come out with 3,000 men, and the men of David said unto him, behold the day which the Lord said unto thee. You know what happens? They're hiding in a cave, David and some of his men. And Saul wants to go to the toilet providentially. And of all of the caves, on all of the hills, on any particular day, he chooses this cave. And he goes into the cave, and there at the back of the cave, he can't see them, it's too dark. No one would be in there anyway. And he goes in to go to the toilet to relieve himself. And while he's in there, they are standing there. And listen to what David's men say unto him. Behold the day, David, that the Lord said unto thee, I will deliver thy enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and killed him.
No.
Now I have you.
No.
Do you realize if he hadn't kept a pure heart, outwardly, yes, I'm submitted to Saul and his palace. But see, if bitterness had been working in his heart, I assure you he would have driven a spear through that man and said, it's the Lord. And the Lord delivered him into my hands. David didn't do that. His heart is pure. Here's Saul crouched down going to the toilet. And David gets up. And he cuts off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. You see how tender his conscience is.
Yeah,
and it came to pass that he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of God. Since the church is filled with rebels who know nothing about submission to authority or to godly leadership, I would understand it if it was a King Saul. But look at David's heart towards King Saul. He's left that church. Saul's trying to kill him perpetually, year after year. And David still says, I won't touch him. I'm not going to slander him.
Yeah.
He doesn't disrespect him. You know what he does? He cuts a bit of his garment off. And after Saul goes out, he comes to the edge of the cave and he holds it up, that bit of garment. And he says, Saul, and he bows himself with respect and says, my Lord, do you hear me? Look at the purity of this heart. He could have ended it all. Can you see his men going, David, this could have been our freedom. Why didn't you kill him? Why didn't you punch him? Felt like punching some people. But God help me, I never would. I wouldn't even do it to my worst enemies, what some Christians do to other Christians. Wouldn't do it to my worst enemy. Slander, lies, vengeance in the house of God. It ought not to be. It fills Saul's heart. But look at this young boy. He says, I will not touch the anointed of God. Thought the Holy Spirit left him. Yes, but he's still got a position. And God did find him and God did use him. I won't be touching him. Yes, I know he's wrong. Yes, I'll speak to my friend and say, he's lost the blessing of God and he's teaching heresy. But I'm not going to touch him. I'm not going to manipulate my way into his kingdom. I'm not going to remove him from the throne. I'm not going to try and grab ministry for myself. I'm not going to do it. And David begins to talk to Saul and he says, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee, Saul. And he said, you're more righteous than I am. And the Lord reward you good for all that you've done, and surely you shall be king in the kingdom. Notice David has no hatred, no vengeance. The same thing happens in chapter 26. On another day, Saul comes out with 3,000 men in verse 2 to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Verse 5, and David rose up and came to where Saul had pitched his tents. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then David took Abishai and went in. Said, who here is going to go with me? Abishai said, I'll go with you, David. We'll go down there. And he sneaks tiptoe through the camp. If you ever go to a King Saul meeting, you better walk carefully. You walk into their house very carefully. Because I tell you, you'll get yourself in trouble if you go near their house. And he goes walking through. But you know what? The Lord had put a sleep on King Saul and his men. They're snoring deeply.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And David goes through with Abishai. And he walks straight through to Saul. And he's standing over Saul. And the spear is stuck there in the ground beside Saul. Here Abishai turns to him in verse 8. And he says, God hath delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him. You're not going to do it. Let me do it. David, you don't want it on your hands. I will do it for you. Leave it to me. Let me go and do it, and I will smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him a second time. He's a real soldier. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?
Yeah.
And he took his spear and his water, and they left, and he went far away to a high hill, and he shouted. And he actually shouted down to King Saul's captain and says, why have you not protected your king? You ought to die. That's treason. Don't you care about your king? Look at the heart of David. Now he's rebuking people for not protecting Saul. Look at his heart, saints. Why isn't this in the church? Show me a King Saul and show me a King David. Show me a young man being prepared for ministry and he'll have this heart. He won't be a rebel like Saul. Show me someone with the anointing of God, with the hand of God. This is what they act like. Even when it's a Saul who's abused authority, they still treat him with respect and says, I won't be touching him. They leave the cave and they travel on. Chapter 27 verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall perish already by the hand of Saul. One day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. Now he has 600 men. He goes down to the king, to the land of Philistines, and he stays there through until chapter 30. Saints, what am I telling you? Here is a man with an army and he says, I'm not going to touch him. I'm not manipulating ministry. I'm not going to cause rebellion. I'm not going to split any churches. I'm not going to lead a rebellion against a man who's lost the anointing. Saints, I've never done it in my life. I've done everything right. I've submitted to authority all through the years. I would rather submit to authority and be in a church than be over a church. I'm telling you, any day, I love being in churches where I could serve. But I knew what the call of God was. Stays in the land of Philistines through until chapter 31, when Saul is killed. He's been to a witch. He's in rebellion. He's angry, he's bitter, he's jealous, he's filled with vengeance, he hates David, and he dies on the battlefield as prophesied through that witch. Praise God, now's the hour, I'm to be the king. Doesn't touch it. He goes to Hebron for the next 7 years. He says, I won't touch that throne until I'm made the king. And until men come, you not only need an anointing from God, you need it by the people of God. And when that comes and he says, you know what? I'm not going to make myself king. I'm not going to send myself. I'm not going to put myself in some position. I tell you, God is going to work through his people, just as he already has through his prophet. He still would not take the throne. There's no manipulation. And he never rejoiced in the death of his enemy Saul. He wasn't happy. He mourned. He broke his heart. He only had good things to say about Saul when he died. Yes, he was in rebellion, but he says, a mighty man, a great leader has died this day. And I can assure you, I've served some Sauls along this way. And some of them I don't have much respect for. But some of them, though they're Sauls, I have the highest regard for them. This morning, yesterday morning, I was praying. I said, thank God for that man who preached the word of God unto me. He went wrong, but thank God for those days he preached. Thank God for those times together. Thank God for being in that church. I know they brought in abuse, but I thank God. Saints, that's against men who abuse. Used, who lied, who veered off track. Saints, I'm telling you, in these three messages on the three kings, Saul, David, and Absalom next week, we are learning lessons about submission and authority that have marked my entire life, every thought, every decision, every attitude. Thank you for bearing with me this morning. This evening. Could preach through to the morning, you know. Keep you here. And I'll just kick you every time you fell asleep and would preach on through the next day. I am telling you what has affected me for 25 years. And over the past week, the Lord's brought me right back to it. And a sense of His divine purpose is coming. Since we have an Adullam's Cave here on O'Connell Street in the city of Limerick. I wouldn't have thought of ever putting a church here, but this is Adullam's Cave, and let all the fleshly rebels of the day come to this church. This is a church for rebels. This is a church for the soulless. This is a church for those in debt whose minds are tormented by the devil. Hey, I've got a church for you. And saints, I tell you, there's no spears going to get through them, but we will preach like Samuel preached, and we'll preach holiness. And we'll preach repentance. Let's stand here. Just lift your hands.